you think you know about South Africa.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey folks, Captain Nighthawk here. Do you have a favorite host? Well, imagine if you will have all the broadcast shows from 2013 to listen to anytime you want. Awesome deal, huh? Anyway, so stop by freedomslips.com and order the entire 2013 library of your favorite host for just $30. Not only do you help with the station funding to keep us on the air, you also help the host because they get half of the net on every order. Also, we have Revolution Radio's all-time favorite shows all on one disc. The details are really broad, so you'll have to visit the website and go look at the details yourself. It's, again, www.freedomslips.com/season2013.htm. And get your favorites. First come, first serve, 7 to 21 days for delivery. Thank you. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps, including me. Later.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
They're bombing the snot out of them. But the U.S. has been over there bombing for years, and nothing.
And also the United States does not want to commit itself seriously to fighting ISIS or allying itself with Russia. That's why I see no change in the U.S. policy. I see just rhetoric, words, not action.
Well, many of us are lobbying very hard and trying to promote the fact that the U.S. should be supporting the Russian efforts. The U.S. should coordinate with the government of Syria. The U.S. should exchange intelligence with the government of Syria. The U.S. should exchange intelligence with the Russians as well. And, you know, if we were serious about this war on terrorism, all civilized countries would work together to wipe it out. But like you said, the U.S. does not seem to be serious.
No, it's not serious because I guess it's benefiting from supporting ISIS.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the end game here is, but
exactly. What is the end game?
Well, the thing that's obvious here, like on our last meeting in the minister's office, you know, you and I and the VT delegation that came, Gordon revealed that we know who's buying the stolen oil, and it's British Petroleum and ExxonMobil. You know, we know this. And I'm glad that this information has filtered through to the Russians. I'm glad that they are interdicting and destroying the tanker trucks that have been taking the oil out of Syria. I think it's a good start. I think it's a really good start. And so it's time to ratchet this up. So we all need to give our support to the Syrian people and to the Iraqi people. You know, that's another thing I need to discuss with you today, Donna, is I got a call from Press TV out of Iran today. The Iraqi prime minister has asked the Turks to please leave our country. We don't want you here. You know, Turkey is planning on putting 14,000 troops in northern Iraq. Well, the Iraqis don't want them. And the Turks have said, nope, we're not going anywhere. We're going to do what we want. This is creating a major set of problems. Turkey is coming across as really being the aggressors and the bad guys. And I call upon the entire international community to sanction Turkey and cut off doing business with them. I mean, it's just nothing. We won't sell you a single nail. We won't sell you a loaf of bread. We won't sell you a tire. Nothing. We will do no business with you. We will buy nothing from you. And isolate Turkey until they make the changes needed in their leadership and their management in order to bring about a peaceful region.
So what do you think? Why Turkey is not leaving? It's a very good question because I had a lengthy talk with Mr. Maliki, Mr. Nouri al-Maliki, who is now the vice president of Iraq. And I have really discussed that with him at length.
And what was his position?
He believes that there are some Sunni personalities who are in cahoot with the Turks, who are encouraging the Turks to stay in.
Okay. So
Islamic and non-Islamic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is what he told me. Well, why would the Turks stay? I mean, and also don't forget, I don't know about politicians in Iraq, but I think there are some politicians in Iraq, in the parliament and in the government, who have vested interest with the Turks, and they don't want the Turks to leave.
So they're betraying their own people. They're betraying the constitution of their country, and and they're you know, we call that in this country treason, and
it is.
And people who commit treason are under our rules are to be executed by being hung by the neck, and maybe Mr. Maliki can start affecting some of those changes. But let me ask you about something else, because you mentioned Sunni. So how big of the issue within Iraq do you think is a Shia Sunni issue? How much of that do we have to contend?
It's a very big issue. It's a very big issue in Iraq, this Sunni Shia conflict. I mean, why do you think the Turks are staying in Mosul? What for? The main aim of the Turks now is to strike the Shiat popular army, what you call the Shia al-Hashd al-Shabi, in Arabic we call it. It is the Shia popular army. They want to get rid of them because they are doing very good job. They want to get rid of the Turks. They want to get rid of any foreign intervention in Iraq. And there is something else. They want to sever any connection between Syria, Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon. I know what they are doing. I know what the Turks are doing. It's a kind of creating a buffer zone.
Gotcha. So how much of this, you think, of this Turkish aggression is driven by Erdogan's desire to restore, you know, some semblance of the old Ottoman Empire?
He wants to restore. Of course, he wants to restore the Ottoman Empire. And at the same time, he's backed by the United States. It's very evident. Everybody is saying that in Iraq, not me.
Well, that's one thing that you and I talked about privately, that Maliki indicated that that perhaps the U.S. is in on the plan to bifurcate and divide up Iraq.
Yeah, exactly. They want to divide up Iraq. And from the Iraqi gate, they want to divide up Syria. This is what they are planning to do.
And so what would the division of Syria look like if you had to guess?
I guess they want to do Sunni, Kurds, a Sunni state, a Kurdish state, a Druze probably state, an Alawite state, four or five states.
Mm-hmm. And then all of them are smaller, all of them are weaker, that they don't have the ability of, you know, their strength in numbers is strength in size. So what they're trying to do is weaken everything in the entire region, put small puppet dictators in there, and then that'll do whatever the U.S. tells them to.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's pretty bad. You have to understand that
conflict between those entities separately.
Yeah. It's my opinion. It's my opinion that the U.S. is currently run by the grandsons and granddaughters of the Bolsheviks who destroyed Russia in the early 19th century, and so. I think that our country has been hijacked, that the American people no longer have a voice, and that this group of oligarchs that runs our country is calling the shots. And it's time for the American people to stand up and do something and take back control of our country and our government, because I don't see the U.S. continuing down this path very much further. We've been on in a death spiral since they pulled 9/11 on us.
Yes, I agree, but how can the American people do that? I mean, this is the question.
Well, you know, we've got to take to the streets. It's time for the American people to get up off the sofa. You know, this time of writing letters and making phone calls to your congressmen are done. It's time to get out in the streets and start telling them that, look, we're done. We want new management. We want new rules. We want this country to be what it's supposed to be. And it's time for the American people to, like I said, get off the sofa and get out in the streets. It's time.
It is time, because this showdown right now, military showdown between Russia, United States, and between Russia and the United States and the U.S.-led coalition, it's frightening. It's frightening. I'm not.
It's extremely frightening when you've got two very powerful nuclear powers who are aiming at each other, and you're in the middle. I mean, that's
I told Dr. Baraka today. I told him, Doctor, it is frightening what's really happening now. I mean, I'm not really optimistic, and I'm relatively pessimistic about what's going on. He agreed with me. Of course, it's frightening. Two nuclear powers now.
Well, speaking of Dr. Baraket, Dr. Baraket, if you're out there, if you're listening, our warmest regards to you and all your efforts to stabilize and restore, peace and justice to your country. Our hearts and prayers are with you and all of the Syrian people. We really hope that this thing gets resolved quickly and soon. So anyway, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about this issue with the Turks, in addition to which there's rumors. I've read two articles about it today that the Turks have closed the Bosphorus to Russian ships going in and out. Have you heard anything about that? Hello. Hello. Are you there, Nana? I can't hear anything.
No, she's there, but we can't hear her. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, Nana, just hang on. We'll try to add you back on. We've lost your signal for a moment. So hang on. Let me send her a note. All right, well, Brett, we see that we lost it. Why don't we try to add her back and get her back on?
All right. Her power may have went out, Mike.
Well, she said she had power, and she should have battery because I think she's on her cell phone. But let's go ahead and try to add her back on and see what we can get. We will diligently try. Folks, bear with us. We're trying to get her back on. And hopefully she'll pick up. I know she's there. Anyway, our guest for the second hour is going to be Alexandra Meters from Galactic Connection. She contacted me and said she wanted to come on. She has some announcements to make about...
Hello?
Hey, there you are. Welcome back. Hello? Yeah, welcome back. How are you, Nana?
Hello?
Yes, Nana, we can hear you. Hello, can you hear us?
Nana, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you well. Go ahead. Something wrong with the internet. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, we just lost you for a few minutes there, but...
doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Anyway, we were talking about how the Turks are blockading the Russians from use of the Bosphorus to access from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean. Any comment on that?
Well... The Turks are playing dirty games with the Russians. And the Russians are quite aware of these games. They want confrontation with the Turks. They want military confrontation with the Russians. They want to drag them to a military confrontation. This is what is the real aim of the Turks.
Well, but Turkey is no match for Russia. Even on their best day, they couldn't impact the Russian military. They'll be crushed.
I know. I mean, this is why I wonder what the hell the Turks are doing.
Well, what do you think? I mean, what's your best guess?
Somebody is behind the Turks who is...
Well, let me give you a hint on that, okay?
Okay.
The party that is behind the Turks, in my opinion, is Senator John McCain, who is the chairman of the Senate.
I think
he is the one who is encouraging Erdogan, saying whatever you do, start a war, provoke the Russians, get the bear to react. Do whatever you got to do, and it just is another indication. See, here's what I don't know. Obama has done some really good things. His attitude toward Israel, he's been really good. He's been the most pro-American toward the Israel policy, of anybody since John F. Kennedy. He's been really strong on that. I'm happy with that. He signed the Iran nuclear deal, which I thought was a brilliant move. I'm really glad about that. But this whole thing with Syria and Iraq, and no, we're not going to put ground troops in Syria. Yes, we're going to put ground troops in Syria. It makes me wonder, is Obama still in charge of the U.S. military, or has he lost control? Obama's made a couple mistakes. His biggest mistake he made was not purging his regime of all the Bush holdovers. He kept too many former Bush people on who were, these are the neocons. These are the PNACers. These are the ones – these are the Bolsheviks within our government. These are the ones who did – this is them. These are the ones who have their own agenda, which is against the interests of the American people. It's against the American Constitution, but they have an agenda and they want to carry it out. And it's really upsetting to someone like me who thinks we have no business in this stuff. We started the war in Iraq based on lies. We started the war in Afghanistan based on lies. We know that 9/11 is not what we were told. We know that this was a false flag of some sort, coordinated by Israel, Saudis, and the United States, elements of the United States. And how strong is Obama? Is he doing just the best he can with what he's got? Is his position that precarious? I kind of think it is.
Everybody is saying here that Obama right now is a lame dog. He cannot do anything. Do you agree with this?
I'm beginning to think so more and more. And see, here's what Obama has to deal with. If you're a general in the Army, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, the Admiral in the Navy, whatever, and you're looking at, Obama's got, another 13 months in office.
Yeah.
That's all he has. John McCain is going to be chairman of the Armed Services Committee for the next 10, 12 years. Okay. Who do I listen to? I don't want to get fired by Obama, but I don't want to anger McCain, because if I anger him, my career is over. I'll never get promoted. I may get kicked out of the service. I'll never collect my pension. What do I do? So I think that a lot of our military guys are being gutless cowards, and they're allowing themselves to be leveraged by John McCain into doing things that are against the constitutional process, as well as against the interests of the American people. That's what I think is going on.
Yeah, because until now, it's difficult to figure out who's the president of the United States, Trump or Hillary Clinton, or I don't know.
Well, Hillary's a disaster. Hillary signed the bills that allowed the U.S. to go into Iraq and kill a million Iraqis. Hillary has blood on her hands. Trump is sort of an unknown quantity. He's known in one way, unknown in another. But if I had a choice between the two of them, right now it looks like Trump would be the better choice.
Maybe.
Like I said, we don't have a choice in this country. We don't have good people we can look at and say, hey, this guy stands head and shoulders above everybody. We don't have that. And like I said, Trump, it looks like he's like the least bad choice. But still, it's a bad choice. Anyway, we've lost our soul of this country. The American electorate is out of the equation. And the American people are adrift. We've got this propaganda machine, the mainstream media, that and the American people, it's not their fault. It's these people who control the media. It's their fault. Because if you don't have accurate information, if you don't know what the thing really is, and you're only told some things, you make decisions based on what you're told. And if the things you're being told are not accurate, if they're false, if they're lies, you base your opinion and you take your actions based on lies.
But anyway, what I understand that the president of the United States is not the decision maker. There are people in the United States who make
Hold that thought, and let's talk about that when we get back on the other half of this break here, okay? We'll be right back with Nahed al-Husseini, the VT Bureau Chief in Damascus. We'll be right back, folks. Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com and broadcasting on FreedomSlips.com, Studio B Revolution Radio. Today is December 10th, 2015. And my guest for this next half hour is Nahed al-Husseini, the VT Veterans Today bureau chief and correspondent in Damascus, Syria. But before I welcome her back, I've got a little announcement here. Mr. Hawk wants me to say that any $75 donor will receive one Silver Eagle, 2015 uncirculated, 1 ounce, 99.9% silver, brilliant condition, no limit, make sure address is included, guaranteed delivery before Christmas. Offer ends at midnight Eastern Standard Time. Get two, we'll send the Survival and Off-Grid Living DVD library. So any $75 donor, there you go. Anyway, Nana, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. But before we had the break, would you go ahead and repeat your question? That
I was asking who makes the decision in the United States. I don't think the president makes the decision in the United States. You are a country of organizations. You have organizations like Congress, like Senate, like National Security Agency. You have so many organizations.
Well, it's become more and more obvious that the president doesn't have the power or the influence that former chief executives used to have in this country.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's because he's just lousy at the job, or I don't know if it's because the resistance is coalesced around him. But it appears to me that the U.S. is run and managed by unseen forces that we don't know who they are. We can't identify who they are. Now, I don't think the Congress, individual congressmen don't have much power. I mean, they're running around passing new laws that do nothing all the time. And the Senate doesn't have that much power, and they're always at war with the Congress over who's going to get to do what. It appears that the most influential organization that we have is probably the Supreme Court, because they can legislate from the bench without due process. They can you pass a law and they don't like it, and they overturn it and put something else in place. But what I worry about is that, you know, our country has been sold out. Our politicians have sold us out, and there's these wealthy oligarchs who control the media, who control public opinion. And they're the ones who tell the government, tell the president, tell the Congress what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it seems like. I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but it seems that the people in the U.S. just don't have we don't have the influence we used to have. And this has been a long time coming, but we're here, and we're kind of stuck. And what do we do about it? How do we take back our How do we take back our power? How do we get influence over our own government? Because right now, I certainly have none.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So, how can the American people take over the decision? This is the most important thing now.
Well, the one thing that I think is the American people need, like I said, get up off the sofa and get out in the streets. And, you know, every major city, you know, I mean, one of the most effective political demonstrations that ever happened in the U.S. was when I think it was Louis Farrakhan organized the Million Man March. And you had a million black men show up on the mall of the Capitol. And I guarantee you that got some attention. That woke them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to have a million people show up in every major city, everywhere around the country, and really put the fear of God into to our government. I think that would give them a little inspiration to start listening to the American people again. The other thing I would like to call for in this country is see a general strike. You know, let's shut down the country. Let's don't do any business. You know, you don't go to work. Kids don't go to school. You don't drive. You don't buy anything. You don't go anywhere. You stop all commerce for maybe a week, and then you watch how big business. Watch how they react. Watch how they respond.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Well, you know, it does. But if we don't do it, you know, we're going to be hiding in our basements trying to escape the police state that's coming for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. ISIS is a real danger, Mike. It's a real danger. I am really worried that this kind of genie, what we call, which was imprisoned in the bottle will be certainly out of control.
that's one of the things that we have to look at as well. This is something that I talk about a little bit, and then I need to talk more about it. And that is George H.W. Bush, you know, Bush 41, the one who first went into Iraq. He stopped at the border. He went into Iraq but stopped going all the way to Baghdad. That guy. He's the first guy, the first president who started taking strategic intel and military functions and outsourcing them to subcontractors. He was the first one to do it. And initially, the government was the only client that the subcontractors had. But now, here we are, 20-plus years later, and these defense contractors have gotten very big, very strong, and now they're for sale to their services to anybody out there. So ExxonMobil, if they want to start a war in Syria, they can now hire these military contractors on the intel side and on the military side to go in and organize a terrorist group in order to harass the Syrian government. And that is exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's that's my opinion, and I think that somehow that this type of business activity needs to be reined in. I mean, the people who are running these things, the people who are orchestrating them, these mercenaries, if you will, that's what they are. They become corporate mercenaries, and so. These people need to be arrested. They need to be tried. They need to be look at this, because this has never been a legal thing. Something like this hasn't gone on since the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. It's been a long time, and so do we want to follow in the path of the Roman Empire? I don't think so. So, we saw what a disaster that was for the Romans. It didn't do them any good. So, anyway.
And it will not do you any good.
it's not doing us any good.
No.
It's doing us less than good. It's quite frankly, my country, prior to 9/11, the U.S. seemed to be doing okay. We were respected in the world. We were the sole superpower. People liked and admired the U.S. After 9/11, it has been a continuing slide, going from bad to worse to much worse. And so it's one of these issues that people got to wake up and say, everything we did since 9/11 has been a mistake. It's time to change direction. It's time to get back on a positive slope. And you start, taking this country on the upward trend and not on this downward trend that they've that we've been on now for, 13, 14 years now. So how do we – and the thing is that really makes me mad.
But honestly
– go ahead.
Very soon. Not really.
I'm sorry, Nana. You're breaking up just a little bit. It's okay, but could you repeat that, please?
What I'm saying is that the American government will not do this very soon.
No, that they won't, and that's where the American people need to come in and demand this, because I'm not going to sit still. I'm not going to pretend like 9/11 never happened while the perpetrators are out there walking around, free men who've made millions of dollars off the death and bringing my country into one needless war after another. I'm kind of angry about it, in fact, and it's time for me and everyone out there like me who feels the same way to do something about it. And that's why I'm urging the American people to get off the sofa and go out in the streets and let them know, and go to these political town hall meetings and ask these guys, how come you've never investigated 9/11? We know that the 9/11 report was a lie. And it's time to get after this. It's time to become strident. It's time to become unmanageable as a people in this country if we want to affect meaningful political change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. And at the same time, I'm really worried that something, big will happen in the United States, like terrorism.
Well, you know what? Let me talk about it. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm really glad you brought that up, because I look at guys like Lindsey Graham, I should say Nancy Graham, get on the news and say, well, the U.S. is going to have another false flag. And you hear one after the other, after the, or another terrorist event, they say. And you have to realize, we've never had a terrorist event in this country. Every single terrorist event that's occurred in this country has been orchestrated and arranged by some element within the U.S. government. They've had their fingerprints on it. They're the ones. I mean, well, if these Arabs, these Muslims, they bought some explosives to make a bomb. Well, the FBI sold them the explosives, gave them the explosives so they could make the bomb. You know, I mean, they've got their fingerprints on everything. And so, you know, folks realize that if we have another terrorist attack in this country, it was our own government that did it. That they're in on it. They've got their fingerprints on it. And they only do this to keep themselves in power and to keep the American people in fear. And it's time to get over the fear. You know, I am no longer afraid. I say screw them. You know, I mean, you know, I will face them down. I have no fear. I fear no man. Let me say that. I mean, the worst thing they can do to me is they can take me up and you know, they can shoot me. They can lock me in a container and waterboard me for the rest of my life or something like that. But you know, I'm downright ready. You know, screw them is all I can say. I've had enough. And
it's time, but I don't exactly. But I do not exclude the possibility that a real attack will happen in the US. I don't.
Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that.
I do not exclude. I mean, okay, I agree with you 100% that these terrorist acts were orchestrated by the government, but I do not exclude the possibility at all that a real terrorist attack may happen in the United States, because ISIS has sleeper cells everywhere.
Well, ISIS is a creation of the CIA. ISIS is a creation of
Mossad, Turkey, and Saudi. If you are sleeping with the devil, when you sleep with the devil, you don't know what the devil will do. Don't count on this. Do not count on this. That they are under control, that they can be monitored, that whatever it is, they can be moved by remote control. No. I am not of this theory. I do not support this theory at all.
No, I agree. I don't think that they can be controlled. I think they've created a monster, and I think this thing's taken on a life of its own. But I still hold those responsible, those who created it, responsible for what this thing does, because it wouldn't be here unless they built it, unless they created it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agree. That's why, you know, people must do something about this, must go to the street, take a strike, do something. You never know what will happen in the future. It's difficult to predict, especially now, what is going to happen in the future.
No, I absolutely agree. And so nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know what they're going to do. And you know, we know a couple things. You know, here's what we do know. We do know that the Western banks are teetering on the brink of failure. We know this. We know that the U.S. doesn't have any money, any more money to bail out the banks. We know that the Chinese have really stepped down their purchasing of American Treasury notes. We know all these things, and so you know you look at this, the business is going on in Iraq and Syria right now with the asset stripping and the theft of oil and artifacts and things. We know that they're using this oil to pay off the derivative contracts. It was only a year ago that oil was at $105 a barrel, and oil is less than $35 a barrel today. Oil
is
continuing to go down. And so, you know, you look at the Western banks, and you know, quite frankly, I wish to see them fail. I want them to fail. I want them to lose their charter. I want them to lose all their equity. I want their shareholders to be wiped out and crushed. because the Western banks and the usury lending system that we have in this country and in the entire West is a crime on humanity. That's one of the things that Islam forbids that I like about Islam, is that they do not support usury. And the whole Islamic banking system, it works very well, but it works on a different model than the U.S. model. And the purpose of usury is to concentrate more and more wealth into fewer and fewer hands every generation. And the game is over. The rich guys have all the money. Nobody in the USA has any money left. Everybody's lost it all. They've lost everything. And, I certainly have. I've lost everything. Many people are out there in the same exact boat, and the rich guys have it all. And now the rich guys don't know what to do because the game's over. They have nobody else to fleece, so they're going out and they're stealing, just like they used to do in the Bolshevik Revolution. They're stealing from the Syrians and the Iraqis, and other peoples out there. This whole thing is a disaster for the people of the United States. That we have been, I used to say mismanaged, but these days I use the term malmanaged, because mal indicates malevolent, it indicates evil intent, and we have been managed with evil intent in this country, and not to the benefit of the people. We've been sold out. That's all I can tell you.
Saudi Arabia will go bankrupt very soon, by the way, because of the oil and other things.
So what do you think will happen? The price of oil. I wrote a white paper.
The price of oil will go down, my dear.
Well, no, I wrote a white
paper. It's now 35. Will go down further.
I wrote a white paper in January of 2015 that we put up on VT, that my advice to the Russian Federation and President Putin was to get ahead of the decline in oil prices and drop the price down to $20 a barrel or less. And Russia's got they've got all these new reserves they've discovered. They're sitting on oceans of oil, and so drive the price down to less than $20 a barrel, and watch the Western banks fail. If the Western banks fail, the U.S. can no longer sustain its military, and will have to stop all this adventurism going on around the world.
I'm not worried about this. I think this the price of oil will go down to 20 maybe. We'll go down further and further. Just it's gonna be in a short time.
Well, let's hope so. Like I said, I want to see the Western banks fail, because once the banks fail, the U.S. and Europe, NATO, can no longer afford to pay their military. What happens if you don't pay the military? They quit. they're not going to stay there. What happens if the U.S. government can no longer buy jet fuel? Or what happens if they can't buy new parts for an airplane or for a tank? Or they run out of ammunition? They can no longer continue to make war on the rest of the world. So let's hope that the banks fail soon.
The bank will fail soon. And what about the stock market? Don't you think the stock market would be affected as well? Of course it will.
Oh, yes, of course it will. I mean, the only reason the stock market is doing well at all is because of 0% interest rates that the Federal Reserve has had in place now for, a year and a half, 2 years? And so the corporations get free money, so they can go out at no interest, and they can buy back their own shares. So guess what? The people who own shares now own more shares, and those who don't are dispossessed. So what's happening is we're seeing again the further concentration of more and more wealth into fewer and fewer hands. That's what's going on. We're going to wake up one day, folks, and it's like when you play the game Monopoly, and you're into the game, and you've got hotels on Park Place, and somebody lands on it and they don't have the money, you win the game, and that's what's happening. Whoever these people are, who are so wealthy, the uber rich. They're the ones who have all the money, and nobody else does. And so, it's going to be up to us as Americans, if we want to remain a free people, to become ungovernable and force change that way. And I'm not advocating violence. I'm just advocating become ungovernable.
Yeah. And what about the real value of the dollar? Don't you think that the value of the dollar will be depreciating when things happening like that.
Absolutely.
This is the idea I want to give you. The whole value of the dollar would be depreciated.
Oh no, yes. It will. It will. And you know, I think that the Russians and the Chinese and the rest of the BRICS nations are doing what they need to do to protect themselves from being blackmailed by the Federal Reserve into supporting the U.S. dollar. And remember, what the Federal Reserve note, it's not really a dollar. That's something else. You know, a Treasury note's a dollar. These are not dollars. This is not lawful money. This is not constitutional money we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's very subtle, but it's very different. And it, you know, I don't want to see this country suffer and go through any pain. You know, I love my country. I'm a 12th generation American. My family's lived 8 generations in Missouri. They're still there now. And you know, I don't want to see this type of hardship imposed on the American people. But I'd rather take a short term uncomfort than I would see this whole country lost. All right, Nana, can you hear us now?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, hey, we're almost out of time. We've got about 2 minutes left. What are your closing comments? You know, what can the American people do to help the Syrian people? How do we bring this madness to an end? What would you ask of the American people?
They must speak loudly against what is really happening in Syria. This is very important, not to be deceived by media.
Okay. Well, media is being deceived. That's why we all do the work we do for veterans today. That's why I do this radio show, is to try to give some people access to the truth through as many various channels as we can.
Also, they must prevent any military confrontation between Russia and the United States.
I absolutely agree. Nana, thank
you
so much.
Which is looming in the horizon, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is. Nana, we're out of time. Thank you so much.
Okay, welcome. Have a nice time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, folks, next hour we'll have Alexandra Meter from Galactic Connection up. Stick with us. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. Be right back.
Hello? Hello? Can't hear you guys. Is anyone there?
Wait till the break's over. Mike, are you there? Mike? Alexander, are you there?
I am, Brett. I'm here.
I don't know what Mike...
Hey, Alexander. No, Mike's here. I just missed the intro break. So anyway, folks, welcome and good evening. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com as well as FreedomSlips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Our guest for let me give the whole thing. Today's date is it's Thursday, December 10th, 2015. And our guest for this hour is Alexandra Meter from Galactic Connection. So Alexandra, welcome.
Thank you, Mike. It's actually Alexander Meters.
Meters. I'm sorry. You know,
no problem.
Well, that's the worst mistake I make. I'm still having a good day, right? Believe me, I make mistakes.
Very many mistakes, Mike.
Oh, no, you have no idea. You know, you have no idea. But anyway, welcome. I invited you on because you said that you had some – You wanted to talk to people and expand your audience a bit and let them know about these big changes that we're all facing. So, you know, that's why I've welcomed you on and glad to have you. And I still want to thank you again for having me as a guest on your show, because that was one heck of an interview that got, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads and replays. It was really a dynamite one, and you did a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, I felt like the power between us was very apparent, and it was orchestrated divinely. You know, I mean, there's no question about that. And it's very important right now, Mike, because you're bringing in so much of the knowledge coming from the political sector as well as the military sector, and I'm able to come in through a completely different avenue with the metaphysical and the spiritual aspects.
Okay, well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit? Some of them probably have heard of you, some of them probably haven't. So why don't you tell us who you are, what you do, and how you got into this field?
Oh, wow. Well, back in 2011, I was lying in bed and I started receiving some messages about how I needed to get a blog going. And I ignored it. And when 2012 came around, the messages became very, very, let's just put it this way, they were very emphatic. And on February 10th, 2012, I began building the galacticconnection.com daily blog. And the whole focus on it was to try to start presenting information such as what you guys put out there, but through the lens of a lot less fear porn and through more of a neutral aspect, you know, kind of teaching and training and assisting people and learning to discern through all the plethora of information that's out there on the internet. So I was called in to do that and mix this information with the spiritual aspects as well as the ufology aspects, because those are the three core trailblazers of the world. Those that believe in and absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are extraterrestrials that exist, those that are very divinely connected and have awareness that there are multidimensional aspects of life. And then, of course, there's the conspiratorial side of things where you have your whistleblowers and those that are very aware that the truth lies way beyond the mainstream media. So in order to bring all those truths together, that was really the purpose of Galactic Connection, is to create it as a hub and to bring those three aspects together into some sort of union and marriage. And that's where it all started. I do have, the experience of being around a lot of military. My father was a fighter pilot. My grandfather was a fighter pilot. Just about everybody that's been associated with my family, as far as my brother-in-laws, were all in the military, including my husband, who, you know, served in the Navy. So I was a military brat. I'm very fully aware of the complexities involved when you go and serve for your country. And that was another aspect of it, was the piece of trying to marry also the recognition of the veterans around the world. I just love that when you told me that in our interview. And helping paint a different picture of what a veteran is today. People tend to just take the aspect of war and conglomerated in with the individual, when in reality, as I said to you before, it's just a rare moment to meet somebody who hasn't served their country and not been willing to die for their country and for the citizenry of their country. They have incredible characteristics.
Well, there's one thing that I need to point out, and that's why Veterans Today has been successful as a global organization around the world, and that is nobody hates war more than a veteran.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, nobody hates war more than a veteran. I mean, trust me on this one.
Well, and Mike, I mean, a lot of the countries around the world, they're forced to go serve time.
Well, in the U.S., they used to force them to serve time as recently as Vietnam. It was post-Vietnam that we've been this all-volunteer professional military. But prior to that, they were conscripts. In fact, when I was born, my father was a conscript on Fort Riley, Kansas, with the 5th Armored Division.
Yes.
And so,
agree with you. I'm just saying, now they look at the United States as, wow, these are voluntary, folks that are willing to put their lives on the line, which even adds a completely different aspect to it, because there isn't that resentment.
Well, actually, there is, because we had a lot of guys in Iraq and Afghanistan who signed up to be National Guard. And as National Guard, they thought they were going to be, the weekend warrior going out doing once a month and this and that and the other thing. Okay, so they get called up and they have to go to Iraq, and they're going to be there for 9 months. And then 5 stop losses later, they're still in Iraq, and they're fuming because they didn't sign up to be professional soldiers and to have to serve 5 tours. That's what's going on. You look at that. That's 45 months. That's 4 years continuous combat duty. That's a lot to swallow. and that they weren't real happy about it. And, you know, I think that the U.S. military, you know, the Department of Defense damaged itself. I mean, how badly this the Department of Defense damaged itself under the Bush administration. Yeah. They really, really, you know, hurt it. And it's not recovered. And I just don't think the U.S. has got a very viable war fighting capacity right now. And it's not because of budget cuts. It's not because of Obama. It's because of the damage that was done to the human infrastructure that makes up the professional military under the Bush administration. That's where it occurred.
Well, don't you think part of that is all part of the divine plan of segueing us away from the belief that the only way that we can fix something on the planet is to shed blood?
Well, you know, I'm the divine plan is a bit above my pay grade, but I would like to think that there is some rhyme and reason behind it, because I look at as senseless violence around the world. The guest I had on before you is the Veterans Today correspondent and bureau chief in Damascus. And I had her on, you know, because she's the one who's arranged the trips for, you know, the VT delegation to go over there and meet with the government and, you know, speak at anti-terrorism conferences and things. And it's just humbling to me to be part of these things and involved in them. But, you know, we're active. We work this. And, you know, I work this stuff every day. You know, but before the show even started, I did an interview on Press TV out of Iran. I had to go put a suit and tie on to do a Skype interview because they wanted to talk about Turkey's refusal to withdraw their troops from Iraq. Mm. You know, it's a tough world we live in right now.
It really is. It's become very escalated.
Well, you work in the metaphysical and spiritual realm. You know, what are people experiencing right now? Because I see a lot of what I'll call confusion among people out there.
One of the things that's become very apparent is that because there is truly a rising of consciousness, there's, you know, if you're not aware of that word consciousness, you know, if it's a little bit too heady, you know, there's clearly a sense within every single one of us that we want to go back to the beginning and figure out, how do we get where we are today? We're really starting to look within and recognize that the way we've been approaching conflict and issues and problems, it isn't working. It's been a repetitive record. And so those that are on the spiritual path or the metaphysical path, or even those that are, you know, fully engrossed in quantum physics, you'll definitely see that there's a trend that we are sensing more on an international level, that we are feeling more under attack from a energetic perspective. And this is because we are no longer all these little individual islands, you know, just trying to keep our head above water and survive and pay our bills and everything else. What we're really being called to do energetically is to unite as a front, as an alliance, the citizens of the world, recognizing that things have gotten out of hand. You're talking about war and veterans and things like this. You have so many constructs and institutions on the planet that are definitely not supporting the well-being of the citizenry. And this is really something we're finally beginning to feel. We're really sensing the dissatisfaction within these jobs where before we just thought we had to do it. Now we're kind of saying, I don't know if this is even worth the paycheck I'm getting for it. And so the conflict has become very escalated. We have moved into the galactic center, Mike. And so because on a spatial realm, we've moved into the center of a very illuminated field. And what happens when you get into more light? You know, you're basically going to have more awareness. You're going to have more ahas. You're going to have more sudden realizations. You're also going to have a lot of friendships and family issues and people falling away from you as you start changing.
Well, let me ask a quick question here. When you say the Galactic Center, are you talking about where we're crossing the galactic plane right now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Just to be clear.
Yes. And so everybody is getting rattled. And this is part of what I call the divine plan. This is essential. We cannot go into something for, I don't care what your religion is. I don't care how you see your life through a spiritual scope. All of us ultimately desire to have love, peace, harmony, and cohesion amongst ourselves. And we're all really starting to go within and question what we've just been accepting for decades, if not hundreds, if not thousands of years. We're finally stepping back and saying, you know, enough's enough of this. There's so much corruption. There's so many whistleblowers. And there's so much being revealed as to all the incredible illusions and lies that you have to step back and look in the mirror and say, okay, what did I do to contribute to this? We have the choice of pulling away from being a victim and saying this was done to me, or we have the choice of saying, okay, listen, I allowed this to go down, and what am I going to do about it now? Things are very exciting if you choose the latter approach, because you will become instantaneously empowered. There are so many things that we can do right now in order to change this planet, but we are at a critical phase. In every aspect of society.
So, when you say at a critical phase, what are the possibilities? What are we facing here? What's the upside? What's the downside? What's the most likely? What's your best guess?
I would say, you know, the downside is you're going to see more and more die off of very large groups of animals, mammals, and ocean life. So, the first thing is we have to start considering what are we going to eat. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we need to start looking at how we're treating every single living being on this planet, because energy is something that's become like a living room table word. You know, your mainstream doctor now is fully aware that we are energetic beings. And they're now acknowledging how important it is to recognize the energy that we put into anything. And that goes with how we even slaughter our animals. So we're taking in that energetic imprint. So we have to start looking at that and how much destruction we're doing towards the soil and the farming and the rainforests and all the stuff that we continued in many, many years ago. We were kind of looking at that going, God, it's so far away. It's on the other side of the world. It's really not impacting me. But because there's such an opening and an awareness of chemtrails, of GMO foods, and recognizing that there really is no finite separation between a chemtrailing that's going on in India and one that's going on here. You know, we all breathe the same air. We all eat. You know, we can receive lots of grain from a particular importer. We're all going to be affected by it, the importer and those that receive it.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the air that is being chemtrailed or polluted in India or China today, it may take a month, it may take 6 months, but it's going to be here sooner or later.
Exactly. Exactly. And the same goes with our ocean waters. I mean, we are at a critical point where we can no longer continue to be naive or stick our head in the sand and say, oh, somebody else is going to have to take care of that. Or, oh, you know what? That's not going to affect me. It is affecting us. The statistics are showing more and more people are either getting extremely ill or being hospitalized. And the number one root cause is toxicity. And, you know, even cancer. I mean, if we really want to go down that rabbit hole, cancer is nothing more than a virus. It is something that is, in my opinion, you can easily address it. It's not a death ticket, is my whole point.
Okay. Well, you just mentioned something about how we slaughter our animals, and it makes me think of the whole issue of kosher slaughter, because I think that's a barbaric practice. and all that. So what's the motivation behind that type of slaughter of animals?
Because what it's come down to is it's just the amount, how much can they produce? How many pounds of meat can they get out to provide, you know, people? And on top of that, there is unfortunately an agenda in what they're putting in that meat. Energetically, well, they're well aware. If you hurt an animal, people are nuts if they think animals don't have also their own state of consciousness. And in fact, they feel pain just like we do. Otherwise, they wouldn't yelp if you stepped on their foot, you know, mm-hmm. or you pulled their tail, or you shot them and you didn't, you know. I mean, I was just in Africa last year. One of the stories that I heard was all about this huge family of elephants. And one of the elephants got stuck in a mud hole. And all the other elephants started crying. They literally were crying tears down their face and their trunk. And they would not leave this elephant. And they actually went and got, they literally tried to get help from the humans.
Hmm.
So we really are being challenged right now to get out of our black and white, very small, very finite way of seeing life and see the magnificence and the expansion that we're going through right now.
So tell us about that. What should people be doing if they wanted to get out of their black and white, small little box and grow and expand? What would you recommend?
Well, the first thing is, you know, checking out websites like yours and mine, you know, where you're able to see what is really going on out there through the alternative media, because they don't have the hidden agendas to keep you in the dark. They really are earnestly wanting to bring some truth and light out to the public world. So that's the very first thing. I mean, because knowledge is truly power. And the more knowledgeable you are about what's really truly going on, the more you're going to find your own passion. So many people, you know, you asked me something about the spiritual community. One of the biggest crises, if you want to call it that, with amongst many of the people in the spiritual community is they just don't know what their purpose is. They have really clarified that they know they're not just here to have a job and to make a house payment and have three kids and send them to college. That is not enough for people anymore. It's not fulfilling enough for people. They're recognizing that they've come here for more than that. So the other thing that's so imperative is to be able to take that leap and jump out of that box that you've been so entrenched in. You know, nobody's gonna kill you for trying something new.
Well, let me speak. You know, one thing I would recommend to everyone, if you wanted to become a little more spiritually connected to yourself and then consequently the world around you, the first thing you should do is kill your TV set.
Yeah, well.
Kill it. Turn it off. I mean, you know, don't spend 3-4 hours a day in front of it. That's not your best friend there. It's there to hypnotize you and train you and dumb you down. And you will never get spiritually connected if you watch that damn thing. So I'm just saying. So that is a good baby step that everybody can do.
Well, the other thing, too, that's super crucial is go outside and sit at the foot of a tree. Now, there's not very many people that just will sit at the foot of a tree, but if you sit at the tree for long enough, for a good hour, and just sit there and just be, just listen to the bees buzzing, listen to the rustle of the leaves on the trees, listen to the wind blowing, feel the sun on your face, really try to connect to the elements and come into a space of being in awe and gratitude. And I can't stress gratitude enough. You know, we all hit tough times. There are very many of us that are struggling financially. And one of the greatest things that will get you through that is your gratitude for life itself. Your gratitude for free speech. Your gratitude for the fact that we have radio shows like this where we can share our opinions and our belief systems.
Well, it is a challenge. And, you know, I know that you don't, you do your work, you know, pretty much for free. I know I do this radio show for free and yeah. everything I do with Veterans Today. It's what I call my community service work. You know, for this is what I do for other people. I don't do it for me. I do it for others. I do it for everybody else except me. So anyway,
that's a good point too, Mike, is a lot of people are starting to feel this is another reflection of how we have shifted into the galactic center. And that is the fact that so many of us we have this huge inner urge to serve. We want to do something that we feel is really making a difference. I hear this all the time amongst my correspondents. Many of you out there that are listening to this, you may be feeling that, and that's a very normal thing right now. But it's not enough to just feel it. You need to go take action. And he's right. Mike is right. Turning off the TV, going out to nature, putting your feet in the ocean, and just connecting to the natural elements. And of course, you know, maybe meeting up, having some meetup groups where people are really expanding the way you think about things. If you've been brought up to believe a certain way and you're really kind of questioning it, but you feel guilt or you feel shame, there are so many groups out there that can at least support you through that transition. That's another great way to really expand yourself.
Okay, so, you know, you work around the edges of the ET question. You know, what can you share with people? What do you know? And then what do you speculate?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, because of my own experiences, I do a lot of mission work. And because of that, I do work with the extraterrestrials. And I have enough physical experiences to know that they exist, that they communicate with me. And I have so many other friends that have the same. I even have friends that they've physically manifested in front of them. So in my opinion, you know, it isn't a question about whether they exist. It's the question of how much longer will it be before we reject this idea that we're the only ones around town. And again, that's a very restricted way of seeing life. People will find that their lives and their passions are so much more exciting when they step out of this box that they've created, or their family or their parents or, you know, their lineage or their culture or their country has created for them. You know, you can only believe this. You can only see this. Oh, now don't do this, because if you do this, then you're really going to be in trouble. And, you know, I would say it's time for us to really step back and say, who is the master of your ship? Now, when it comes to extraterrestrials, it's very important to understand that there is a sense of vibratory connection that is necessary in order to connect with the extraterrestrials. But one thing I can say to you for sure, they are benevolent, the most of them. These are the ones that are not affiliated with the military. And they are here big time to be able to support us through a very difficult transition that we're going through right now, and assist us so that we can get off our knees, become less subservient, and become more authoritative in our own mastery. You know, really step into our own mastery, really understand who we really are, instead of just feeling like we're a drone that gets up, puts our suit on every day, goes and works for a corporation that, you know, for example, like Exxon or BP, who you've already presented, Mike, that they make gazillions of dollars by spilling people's blood. Do you really want to work for someone like that? These are the questions that are really coming to the surface now. People can't ignore that anymore.
No, they can't. I just had a listener send me a note saying, you know, what do these ETs look like, or how do they appear to you as, or you know, they're curious about knowing a little more.
They look, you know, most of them are very humanoid. I mean, most of them look just like you and me. It depends on which races you communicate with. I tend to communicate a lot with the Sirians and the Pleiadians and the Arcturans.
Okay, well, we've got a break coming up right now, Alexandra, so we'll be right back, folks. Give us about 4 minutes more with Alexandra Mators from Galactic Connection. We'll be right back in a couple minutes.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com as well as FreedomSlips.com of Studio B Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, December 10th, 2015, and my guest for this hour is Alexandra Mators, Alexandra from Galactic Connection. Alexandra, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike. I'm still here.
Well, good. I'm glad you are. And, you know, I was recently introduced to this implant removal process that that you've got. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that and tell the people out there what it is, what it does, how it works, and what positive effects it's going to have for them. I know it'll vary by individual, but you must see trends on things that this happens with. So, talk about that a little bit, because I want people to understand that there is more to our reality than we can see and feel and detect. That there really is a spiritual aspect to it that affects us in many ways, for the good and the bad.
Very true. Well, there's been a lot of information that's come out that back about 400,000 years ago, let's just call it an agenda. There was an agenda from a race of extraterrestrials that were not necessarily looking upon the human race as positive. They were looking to create them as a slaved race, which actually we still are, by the way. And at that time, they decided that they would implant us. Now, these implants are not like physical implants that I'm talking about. There are physical implants, don't get me wrong. These are etheric implants. They are actually placed energetically in your other auric fields or bodies. And there are people that have the gift of being able to see those and being able to extract them. This is a fairly serious process, one in which it is typically felt immediately when they are removed. The purpose of these implants has been put into every person that's ever been born on this planet up until a recent time frame. Some of the children are now not receiving those implants, but we all have had them. And what they do is they're designed to keep you oppressed, prevent you from living to your full potential, keeping you in a mind-controlled environment, and they also draw drama or dissension or unhappiness or what have you. The reason for this is because the implants actually are affiliated with what I'm going to say, an extraneous negative being called an archon. And the archon is, I guess what I would call it is they're attached and they're affiliated with these implants. When you remove them, you will feel the removal of a parasite. Literally. And there's more than one. Normally people, when they go through the process, we've done thousands upon thousands. We're world renowned for this, all over the world, by the way. And when we do remove them, we average about 18 that are removed in the one extraction process. Now with that, we've come up with a very unique solution because I'm an alchemist. And I create essences and oils that incorporate everything from flowers to minerals to colors to homeopathy to music to sound to symbols to you name it. And when you combine those two together, the actual extraction process as well as the alchemy, it's a very good solution because it supplies the individual with the support energetically and the healing support that is needed afterwards. It's not necessarily that you're going in for surgery or anything, but it's a very major process because even though it's on the etheric realm, you may wake up the next day and feel sore. So this is how you'll know. Some people don't have any soreness, But the truth of the matter is, when you have them removed, there is a sense of sovereignty. There's a sense of freedom. And you are no longer being used in that particular realm as a host and living in a parasitic condition. So I hopefully that explains it.
Well, it does. It gives a nice overview. And folks, I'd recommend look into this because it's worthwhile. That's all I'll say right now. But talk more about these archons and how – see, I've had Preston James on a number of times. And Preston and I have talked many times about how we see the evidence of what he's called the third force, something that interferes in the trajectory of human events, and it's been doing this for a very, very long time. So talk about these archons and how they influence, you know, human affairs on this planet, because it's you know, we know something is out there meddling with the direction that humanity has been going in for a long time. Now, any insights you can share would be most welcome.
Yeah, in fact, the Archons, they're kind of like a disfigured looking, very nasty, gross looking being. And they are attached to other malevolent beings, which are in just about every sacred text known to mankind. We live in a polarized reality. Therefore, we're going to have darkness and we're going to have lightness. We're going to have dark beings. We're going to have light beings. It's a dark light scenario here. We are here to grow, and this is a reality of resistance. So these dark beings have had full throttle for a very long time. And unfortunately, the ratio of darkness to lightness has overtaken this planet. It was not designed to be that way. This is why we're in a transitionary place where we're trying to come back to more of an evened out ratio.
Do I understand that you just said that darkness is out of proportion? There's more darkness than there is light currently?
Yes.
Well, that certainly explains a lot of things.
Yes. And that proves itself to be true, because we're at the end of a world age. And at the end of a world age, almost anyone that you have read about, even the Roman times, at the end of their world age, it was very corrupt. It was very diabolical. Society had completely lost their moral compass. And we are, in many ways, recognizing that. We're kind of stepping back. I mean, the younger people that are coming forth today, they're really questioning a lot of the frivolousness, the lack of commitment, dedication to, you know, children, for example. I don't want to go into criticism or anything, because people have got to do what they've got to do to survive. But there's such a change in the way in which people are looking at even bringing up their children now, of a participatory role.
Yeah, let me comment on that, because it seems like everything has gone from a deeper level to a shallow level. Like everything that we do is all superficial. It's all topical. Like people, their personalities, everything. They have the depth of a puddle on the sidewalk. You know, I mean, it's just seems like, you know, no one. It's very rare do you meet people with true depth these days. And you know, I see how our kids are being raised, and they're so materialistic, and they want to spend their time playing computer games and not interacting. They'd rather play the computer game than go outside and play. It seems like a very different way from the way things were just a few years ago when I was a kid, you know?
Well, the only thing is, Mike, the only thing I would disagree with you on is that we are shifting into a higher awareness about that. I find that because it's gotten so bad, because even the school districts have gotten so bad, and the things that they're allowing to educate their children have gotten so ridiculous. It takes something so bad to wake people up, and that's what's going on. I mean, we've had to literally hit rock bottom in order for people to snap out of it and understand that nobody's going to do this job for them. No one's going to create a better life or have a better school system or, you know, possibly take better care of our own health than ourselves. So we're starting to shift. We're really literally starting to open our eyes, and we're recognizing that we've lived a lie from the standpoint we've believed in government, which means mind control, by the way, and we believe that they have better intentions for us than we do for ourselves. And that's just ridiculous. But back to the archons. The archons, actually, the majority of them, through the assistance of many people that do a lot of spiritual work, have left the planet. This is very good news. We still have some archontic attacking going on, of course. But what we're really running into is we're running into more of the demonic element. And this is because as an entire planet, we have raised our vibrational rate, which literally raises us to a different octave. And when you go into a different octave, you go into a different octave of dark and light beings. And so we're contending with a different type of dark being. We refer to them as hyper demons. And that's what people are experiencing now. These are the types of attacks that people are getting.
So when you say an attack, what do you mean by that? What will people, how will they know? What will they experience?
Well, what people have taken all along is just feeling badly when they went over to visit. Let's just say they had a brother who has always hated them and they never got along. What they're actually experiencing is psychic attack. People do not understand that when you send out something as ferocious as hatred to another living being, it could be an animal even, it is an energetic wave. It has form to it, and therefore it is sent on the airwaves to the other party, and they feel it, and then their field is affected greatly by it. So that has been accelerated from these other beings, because what do they not want us to do? They don't want us to grow and ascend into a higher state of consciousness, because they are parasitic beings. They live off of our unhappiness. They literally live off of what we refer to as ectoplasma. And ectoplasma is created through dissension, grief, disharmony, unhappiness, etc. Now, when you're in joy, you're actually creating a light form, a light wave, and it's a different scenario. They don't live off of that. So they want to keep you down. They want to keep you miserable. They want to keep you in disarray in your life, in your finances, and in an unhappy home, etc.
Is that where these implants come in? Is to put these disruptors in people to not allow them to achieve stability so they can get to the place of joy, but to keep them constantly in insecure, fearful, unhappy places.
Correct. Absolutely. It is an implant. Now, when you think of an implant, you actually think of maybe like one of those little needle-like objects. You've seen them on UFO shows and things like that. But these implants are in all different shapes and sizes. They're embedded etherically, and their whole design is to keep you down. Their whole design is to keep you unhealthy. I mean, I have heard people that have had their implants out and instantaneously are different the next morning. You know, instantaneous experiences of chronic illness that went away. Why is that? And it's because the parasite that lives through the implant, they live off of your energetic field. And I can tell you right now, if you don't have a very good relationship with a sibling or a mother or a father or a sister or brother or an ex-wife or ex-husband or what have you, there's a very good likelihood that their implants are literally, I know this sounds crazy, but they're attacking you. And these implants, we've also determined, are senders and receivers of the matrix itself. So there's this other very, where, you know, everybody, it's the very mysterious, like you said, these instigators, right? There's this mysterious, larger element that is monitoring us all the time. And they certainly aren't monitoring us for our benefit. They're trying to keep us from our own freedom and from our own joy and from our own sovereignty and actually from our own sovereign right to be free.
Well, talk to us a bit about this matrix. You know, tell us what you know and what you speculate.
Okay. Well, suppose, you know, I'm sure everybody's seen the movie The Matrix. It was, if you haven't seen it, you got to go see it. But what The Matrix did was it really brought out to the forefront that we live in a digital matrix. Many people will say that if all of us stopped believing, let's say there were 100 people standing on the side of the road and they were looking at a cow. If 100 of those people did not even know what a cow was or didn't believe that that cow existed, that cow would not exist. There is a mass consciousness amongst us all that we contribute to. And in this matrix, it's digital. It's zeros and ones. Many people are suggesting that we live within a computerized reality. And man, that's a whole nother conversation. But the point being that you have to sit here and say to yourself, okay, what is my illusion and what is my reality? Now, the matrix is part of the design to prevent the human race from being able to ascend into a higher state of consciousness. That's its ultimate purpose, and to keep us enslaved so that we can do their bidding. And that means, you know, things like paying almost 75% tax here in the United States. People say, oh, no, we don't pay that much tax.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Taxes up.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was, you know, what I've been told is that, you know, we're looked at kind of like livestock, and that they feed off of our depression, our despair, our pain.
Correct.
And that, you know, like these implants, they can cause physical pain because people who are in physical pain chronically always tend to get depressed. And that these things are set up that way, and that is our purpose here, is to continue to feed them, and that's why we're being kept in this lower vibrational state, and not being our ascension's being thwarted actively. Let's just say that.
Yeah, and what people don't realize is that it's awesome to be human. We don't remember it. We haven't even been able to really experience the beauty of being created in the divine image of God. We are the direct ascendants, and therefore we have incredible gifts. We don't know them, most of us. Most of us are not aware of them. This is what we mean by going into a higher state of consciousness, where we become aware of what we truly are and what we truly can do. And that we don't have the fear and the doubt, because honestly, that's not a divine accepted, how do you say it, approach or perspective. Fear and doubt don't even exist in a higher state of consciousness. It's just not even part of the equation. And this is really, truly who we are. We're magnificent beings. Who can do far, far more than we're doing. We have been convinced and enslaved for such a very long time that we're now at a place where the gates are. You know that story, Mike? In World War II, the story was that in one of, I think it was Dachau, they went to the concentration camp, and the United States military forces opened up the gate, and they still wouldn't come out. They opened the gate up.
No, so that's a common issue a lot of places with prisoners who've been there long term.
Right.
And not just Dachau. It's very similar to what they identified. I guess it was the 1970s, the Stockholm syndrome.
Yes.
To where the people become dependent upon their captors for their survival, and so they develop a relationship with them that's very strange. And so am I to infer then that this is a bit of what the human race has going on with,
yes,
with these archons and these demonic forces?
Yes, that's exactly it. And we are at a place where we're starting to break free from that. You know, one by one, each of us is getting to a place where we've had it. We're no longer wanting to remain captive. We're feeling the nudges in our heart and soul that we want to go to bigger and better things. And let's face it, there's so many things that are coming to the forefront that are presenting to us, you know, hey, they're showing we're not the only Earth that has living populace on it in our own solar system. They're proving there's like 66 other Earths, you know, just that alone. I mean, it really affects all that we've been taught in schools. But what I always challenge people to think about is who created the curriculum and what was the agenda behind the curriculum?
So, well, that's always the thing, because, you know, you can within two generations, you can remove all trace of what really happened and impose an entirely other agenda upon what we perceive as history. And the internet age has made that very, very, very clear to a lot of people.
Yes, it's very true. So, you know, actually things are very exciting, and I know people may not feel that, but we are really about to break free. There's so many exciting things going on. Just let's go back to your interview with me, Mike. It was huge, the fact that Putin came out with information that outed the United States. I mean, I don't even know in the last, say, 100 years if that's ever been done. That was a historical moment for a major head of a country. And he's still continuing to do so.
Well, he is. And by the way, we at Veterans Today are continuing to ask him to release the Russian 9/11 files, as well as to release Senator John McCain's interrogation files from when he was at captive in Vietnam, because we think those will be incriminating. We'll be able to force McCain into resigning, not just from the Armed Services Committee, but from the Senate.
That would be fantastic. And again, we are being challenged to stop accepting what is not good and just for us. It is no longer acceptable for us to just sit at our kitchen table and ignore what's going on outside of us. We are at a place where we are literally being called within our hearts and souls to take some responsibility for where we are and take back our power. We've given our power up for way too long. And, you know, the implant removal process is definitely one of the greatest steps to help you with that sense of freedom, that sense of empowerment, giving you some courage to step out and really become more of what you've always dreamt yourself to be. Mike, we literally are stepping into a new renaissance.
Well, I like to think so. That would please me, you know, very, very greatly. I've always heard about the coming golden age, and I would like to be part of it.
But you are part of it. You have to understand, you know, as a teacher once reminded me, this is the first time in history that we can speak openly about our spiritual beliefs and not be executed or beheaded.
Well, that's very true. I mean, even 100 years ago, you would still have a really, really tough time if we had a conversation like this. And you go back 300 or 400 years and we had a conversation like that, we'd both be burnt at the stake.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. But now there's a lot of support from the light in helping us. All we have to do is just meet them a part of the way by saying yes and allowing that, just allowing the concept within our own minds and hearts, just thinking that there's something better than where we are right now. We've been stuck for so very, very, very long, and it's time for us to break free of this.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I think it's up to all of us to empower ourselves and to take back as much of ourself as we can, because we give so much of it away on a daily basis, and you know, we allow ourselves to be put into situations where we can't say no. Well, you can say no, and sometimes you should say no. Sometimes you should say hell yeah, but other times you should say no. And
very true. And you know what, Mike, I remind my audience all the time, if you look at the number of earth changes, volcanoes, earthquakes and all the storms and things like that, if you look at them over the last couple of years, it is unbelievable how far less of a loss of life there has been. And I
So if this would have happened 50 years ago, 100 years ago, these big hurricanes and these volcanic eruptions, you think the loss of life would have been much greater?
Definitely.
And, do you think
this is representation that we are receiving support.
I just thought it was better, more advanced forecasting so people could evacuate the areas.
No. No, not necessarily. I mean, you might have some of that, but I'm just saying, I mean, look at the earthquakes. A lot of people won't be evacuated in those cases. And there's just so many less. When I was blogging all the time, I noticed it very, very clearly.
Well, Alexandra, I hate to say this, but we're out of time for the day.
No problem.
And thank you so much for joining us. And we'll have you back on again soon, okay?
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me on as well.
Hey, thanks, Alexandra. And everybody, thanks. I'll be back on Tuesday with hopefully new and exciting guests. Everybody, take care. Have a nice evening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.